Yes, coming up a little later, we've got What's Up Joey's Nose and Sound Advice this week, Metallica's Black Album, which, mate, you're frothing over, Ben.
Ooh,
aren't
yeah.
you? You're pumped.
Loving it.
To the eyeballs. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Ricky R. Dave, wow. It has been. Now that's an introduction.
Does Webby get that?
No. Yes, he does. He gets.
Just say no.
He gets Webster. Your, remember the old sitcom Webster?
Yeah.
He gets that. He gets that jingle.
Is this your? How do I say it? Do I just say it? Is this your first
debut?
Can I say the word?
Yeah.
Is this your cherry? Is this your first today?
I don't understand what that means.
Like, is this your first time with us?
Yeah.
Working?
Yeah.
Did you do last week? Oh. No, my short term.
No.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No. I only do it every 4 weeks.
We had Adam Peacock last week.
Okay.
So we brought Dave in. I said to Dave before, I was a little concerned. I said, you know, with your ad breaks, you know, quoting Paul Murray and Andrew Bolt. I said, but then I realised you worked with Dave most Sundays. Yeah. So
rude appearance.
I got warned about you, Joey.
Yeah. Daisy Carter.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have the Knights assistant coach with us and the
hashtag
attack coach.
Build the wall.
Yeah. Mate, Dave, what is, firstly, okay, the loss to the Dogs has just triggered all sorts of stuff. The Adam O'Brien press conference. But the big one's the David Clemmer situation, Dave.
Current investigation going on here, guys. Due to the fact that the Knights served Dave Clemmer with a show cause notice, it was based on the fact that he gave a stinging verbal to the head trainer, Hayden Knowles, in that Canterbury match. I understand, it's important to clarify, I understand that show cause notice was handed down by senior management, not driven by head coach Adam O'Brien. There's been a little bit of muddying of the water there that Clem could be off with Adam O'Brien, and this is a reason why they might want to shop him and get rid of him. That's not the case as far as I'm concerned. It was driven by Phil Gardner and the executive team based on a complaint from Hayden Knowles, and this is why the show caused notice to Clemmer has been served. Now, I think we could get an interesting day today, guys, in relation to some type of mediation between Clem and the club and whether a formal apology is issued. There was a suggestion that Clem actually could start training today with the team, because under a show cause notice, you can't train with the team.
Mm.
So, look, I think there's every likelihood we could see something this morning.
Yeah.
Because the Knights need to move on from this, boys. Like, seriously.
Could he play Sunday?
No, he can't play.
Okay.
Dave, this is the thing that confuses me, and I don't know whether there's more to it. I don't know if it's been a series of events, but on the surface of the thing, we're talking about this on the show last night, Fletch and Gordy and Hindy, and we're going, okay, I've seen a million times where a trainer comes onto the field and goes, hey, you know, hey, Chief, come off, and Chief would do it. Mm. Chief would say, no, I'm not going off. Like the famous, when he and Spud collided, Chief hurt his groin. The trainer came on and said, get off. Chief said, I'm not going off. He said, get off. And he said, no, I'm staying on for another 5 minutes. I'm going to take Spud with me. And so it's not, you know, this is not a new thing. And on the surface of things, I'd be surprised if Hayden would take it personally, although I don't know the extent of what he said. But
I don't know what was said. But I think it's more when Clem came to the sideline and obviously was frustrated, and a lot of people on the bench, there was young players on the bench, I think from development squads, people in the crowd could hear it. Just a bad look.
This speaks to a whole deeper issue at the Knights, guys. And who am I to, you guys know it better than me. But leadership is absolutely critical to any rugby league team. And leadership, for me, starts at the top. And the Knights have been governed by Phil Gardner, who's an absolutely hugely successful businessman, runs leagues, clubs, and clubs in Newcastle. And, however, that doesn't mean you're a successful leader of a rugby league club. And there's been just so much instability at the Newcastle Knights for so long now. High rotation of coaches, 2-3 years, let's turn another one over. Roster management's been nothing short of horrendous. you know, the departure of Mitchell Pearce, case in point, with no clear option, no clear replacement.
Yep.
Let's just take the case of Adam O'Brien's coaching career for an example. I can promise you the Newcastle Knights don't have a ready-made replacement. Oh. So what's the point?
Mm.
Like, they do no forward planning. They do no – the good clubs already know where they want to go as a club. The Roosters, okay? Mm. Nick Politis moves on Brian Smith.
Mm.
He's already on a plane to France to meet with Trent Roberts. Mm. The Sharks knew they weren't going to go ahead with John Morris. They identified Craig Fitzgibbon. It's about if you – they don't forward plan Newcastle. They do so much on a whim. And I think it speaks to the leadership of the club and above the coaching staff.
Dave, you're right in the fact that the high turnover of coaches has just led to instability and led to Newcastle. Like, I've spoken to Caelan about this and said, what is the style? And he said, I don't know.
That's a big one.
That's the big one.
Got to work out our DNA. Mm. What sort of club are we? What sort of team are we? Are we going to be a gritty team that defends? Or are we going to be a flamboyant team? What's our attack? How do we want to play? And then once the Knights work that out, then they can start recruiting players that fits in with the DNA.
Because, Joey, if you use the Bulldogs as an example, Dave, like the Bulldogs in the 70s, into the early 80s, were the entertainers. Mm. And suddenly with a lot of the Hughes brothers and that moving on, Warren takes control of the side and turns them into the Dogs of War, which sustained for about 20 years. But then all of a sudden you see now high turnover, you know, coaches changing, coming and going. And suddenly you can see now the Bulldogs are trying to work out, okay, what are we once again? And that's such a crucial thing, I think, with coaching, having stability in the coaching ranks so that you sit there at the start of every off season and you know what sort of side you
100%.
Are. You know the philosophies.
Matty, you're spot on about the Dogs. Like, so let's just stop there for a sec. Like, the Dogs have identified Cameron Serrato as the lead candidate, who's a defensive orientated coach. They've met with Michael Maguire.
Yeah.
Now, I think Madge is a legitimate chance to be Cameron's assistant. Right, and so you've got an experienced, hard-edged, right? And what are the Dogs? Hardened, defence-orientated.
Yeah.
Two defence-orientated coaches. And that would bring back that DNA of the Dogs. The other big problem with the Newcastle Knights is, guys, is their salary cap management. Mm. Honestly, right? So David Clemmer's on $850,000. The Saifidi boys, $700,000. Kalen, $1.2 million, right? So, okay. Kalen,
assistant coach, $900,000.
Yeah. For 2 days' work.
Yeah.
2 days? 2 days a month.
Yeah.
So, Kalen I can live with, right?
Yeah.
Elite player, a spine player. But to have so much money tied up in your forward pack, what was Wayne Bennett's old adage? You never pay over $1 million for a front rower. Mm. And the Knights' salary cap management has been poor. Which leads to that conversation of why they may consider moving Ponga into the halves.
And you have a look at the front office, let's call it. There's been three different recruitment officers or managers in 3 years.
Mm.
Had Troy Pezzette, then Alex McKinnon, and now Clint Zammit. Mm. So there's no stability there.
Well, I think the best thing Phil Gardner has done since he's taken control of the club is what he's done the last week, and that is appoint Peter Parr.
Mm.
You know, Parry, so well-respected, knows what success looks like. Good recruiter, good man manager. It'll be really good for Adam O'Brien. So that's a good appointment.
Yep.
But it's going to take a lot to knock it into shape. And look, just on back what you said about, you know, with Adam, you don't have a coach there forever. You know? But the problem with a lot of these teams, Dave, is the fact that we talk about premiership windows, but they've also missed a window to pick up some really good coaches as well.
Mm.
Now, I said the other day that we're talking about Brad Arthur, and I said, if they make the decision Parramatta that, you know, maybe Brad's not the guy to take us to a title, then righto, who do you get? You know,
that's right.
Yeah, there's no Wayne. There's, of course, not going to be there's not going to be a Bellamy. There's not going to be a Robinson.
Mm.
Seraldo's tied up. All these guys are going left, right, and centre. Who do you get?
Mm.
And that's a situation that with the Knights, and that's, you know.
Well, then once again, they've got to work out the DNA. And then the DNA is that's the coach you appoint.
Do they need a clean out, boys? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But again, Penrith
went through it in 2019. Yeah. They realised that they had players there that didn't fit where they were trying to go as a club. There was a magic round game in 2019. I think the Panthers were down 28-0 at half time. And I think that conversations I've had, that was the turning point, the absolute moment. The Panthers officials went, this squad's not working for us. Mm-hmm. It's not anything where we need to be. We saw the likes of Regan Campbell-Gillard go, Wonga Blake, Dallin Watene, Zelazniak, all left. Mm-hmm. It was hard for the club at the time. They were big calls. They actually carried payments of those players on their cap, despite the fact they're playing at other clubs, but they were willing to go through the pain. And I firmly believe, I would think you agree, that the Knights may need to go down a similar path.
Two English players coming, Will Price, Joey.
Yep. And he's not here till 24.
24. And there's a young back rower.
Pierce Paul.
Who they compare to Sonny Bill Williams.
Yep. He looks an incredible talent. So there's two players there coming with some strike. Look, I think, without doubt, short term, they have to land a half. And obviously, Brooks is the one.
That'll be interesting to see if you can get Brooks across. I mean, that was the one they thought they had originally.
Mm.
And then Tim Sheens arrives and changes his mind. Meanwhile, you know, Mitchell,
so I don't
Mitchell's
know what's
on the,
going on
the plane to France.
Behind the scenes there.
Bailey Hodgson.
Yeah.
Right. Where's Bailey at? Because when he came over from Cass, he had a lot of wraps. I know he's had a lot of injuries.
He's had an elbow reconstruction, I think.
Yeah, he's had knee reconstruction and an elbow.
Yeah. Hyperextended his elbow a couple of times. Mm. But short term, as I said, got to land a half. But long term, there's no easy way out. It's build from within. Mm. Identify the best juniors, coach the hell out of them. Might be a 2 or 3 year process, but that's what the Panthers do. They got their junior system in order. They coach the junior coaches how they wanted to coach the juniors. Now they just all come through. Mm. Tago, Taylan May, all these players keep coming through.
What about the Panthers? You know, there's been discussions about the Dolphins. People going, you know, that they might, because of salary cap, let a Crichton or a Toto go, because they've just got so many young guys coming through.
Yeah, they do. They got a lot off contract next year, guys. Stephen Crichton, Brian Toto. And it's going to be a challenge. Like we see all the premiership winning teams go through a bit of a divorce and a breakup. That's going to be the challenge. You just had me thinking about basically the production line, the cut and paste method of coaching your under 16s so that they're ready for NRL. That's why I can't wait to see the Panthers' performance against the Raiders on Saturday without Luai and Cleary.
Yep.
Because the two halves, Jamin Sullivan and Peter and Sean O'Sullivan, have been, you know, sitting in the reserve grade, working with the system that the NRL players use.
Yeah, that's right.
And we'll see. It'll be proof.
Well, that's their DNA. They know what the club is. They know how they coach their juniors coming through to play a certain way in the NRL.
Just before we go to a break, Dave, just quickly, Dragons.
Mm.
What's happening there?
Instability seems present. There's way too much chatter coming out of that football club for me to be convinced it's a happy club. We saw the taps on the shoulder of the two assistant coaches. I found that bizarre timing.
I thought it was very strange.
Who's coming in there, do you know?
No appointments have been made as yet. They were sitting ninth going into last week. I just thought that was bizarre. I'm hearing more staff, backroom staff, will leave at the end of the year.
Wow.
And that's concerning for me. And as I said, players are chirpy at the moment. That's not a good sign. Really interesting to see how they go against the Sharks.
Did they extend Anthony Griffin to the start of the year?
Yes, they did.
So he was off the end of this year, was he?
Yep.
Which is crazy. And they extended him for 1 year?
Yeah, so in February this year, they announced a 12-month extension. So Hook's off contract at the end of 2023. That's fine, Joey. But the point is, we know it's not the end of 23. They're going to make another decision in around April, May next year on whether they're going to go ahead with Hook for the next season, 24.
I reckon it'll be Dean Young.
Yeah, that's
I reckon they'll bring Dean Young down from North Queensland, and I think there'll be a succession there, because chatting to Scotty Drinkwater a couple of weeks ago, he just wrapped him deluxe. Mm. He said he's been exceptional. Mm. We'll take a real quick break. After the break, we've got Honest Opinions.